Good evening, everybody. This is the Fear of the Walking Dead online viewing party. It's Season 4, Episode 7. It's 8:30, and welcome to the show. Tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode and any current AMC official promo materials. Welcome to Episode 7 of Fear the Walking Dead Season 4. After tonight, we have just one episode left until the mid-season finale. The front eight episodes of Fear will wrap with mid-season finale episode 8 on June 10th. That's a week from tonight. And they are likely to resume around mid-August so that the back half will line up with season 9 of The Walking Dead, likely in October. All this is based on prior patterns and could change, so stay tuned for updates as we get them. Typically, we'll start this show a half hour before the new episode airs each week, and with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come. Pardon me, just a quick moment. I need to work on fix something on the board. All right, thanks for your patience. I had something going on the board I needed to fix for you guys, so we gave you a little fun music to keep you occupied while I would deal with that. Typically, we'll start the show a half hour before the new episode airs each week with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark and watch the new episode together and give episode ratings from 1 to 10, and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show, as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free, so please don't discuss either spoilers or the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show presented. Call in to speak with the host at 914-338-0314 anytime between 8:30 and 9 p.m. tonight, preferably, but you're welcome to call during the show. You will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, then join us in our live chat room. We will be able to listen to the show real time as well as download the episode after that. And we usually post the links for those on our Facebook page and also on Twitter. If you're unable to join us by 9 p.m., you can still go to each episode link later on and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast after the fact for later listening. White icon at the top right of the page. Okay, let's check the chat room. See, nobody else is here just yet. So that's fine. We can go ahead and continue for a moment. Hold on. Just a quick second. I need to check on something else. Volume mixer. There we go. I think I found the culprit, so now I can talk to you guys in peace. All right. Let me go back to my notes. Pardon me. Okay, tonight's episode 7 is entitled The Wrong Side of Where You Are Now. The official AMC synopsis is Madison's decision to help an adversary has unintended consequences. Meanwhile, John Dory's life hangs in the balance. And as you guys know, we were hanging in the balance for a week because we had Jaws on AMC inexplicably. I actually apologize for not telling you guys in the previous show that that was going to be a thing when we had a show on the 20th. I did not actually know. I actually found out while I was prepping the materials for the show that I was thinking was going to air a week ago. And as I was looking at different articles to share with you, one of them was about how AMC wasn't showing it. I did not ever hear why. They ended up showing Jaws in its place. I am operating on the assumption that it had to do with it was Memorial Day weekend and they didn't want to try to have a big episode deal, like the one before the mid-season finale, on a weekend when everybody's taking off and going to visit the war dead and having their barbecues or whatever else they do on that weekend. So I guess that's why. I don't really know. If I do actually find out an official statement, I'll let you know. But at any rate, let me go back to my notes. I do have two other additional web pages with synopses and comments for you. So let me share those with you. The first one is from comicbook.com from Brandon Davis, and he is a regular writer about the show that we like to share. And the title is just Fear the Walking Dead Season 4, Episode 7, The Wrong Side of Where You Are Now. Very straightforward. He mentions the official synopsis, which I won't read twice. Then he says, the episode, which is new for the first time in 2 weeks, will pick up directly where Episode 4-6 left off. Alicia Strand and Luciana have come to a standoff with Mel and his vultures as tensions are extremely high. The reasons, however, are unclear. With Jenna Elfman's Laura, or Naomi, returning, Alicia is set on killing her as some sort of betrayal between the two characters seems to have happened in the past. And no, we're not supposed to already know what it is. It's something that I assume will come out as a plot point. Just like earlier, there was something going on between Nick and the guy in the El Camino that we haven't seen yet either. Where episode 4-6 ended in Alicia shooting John Dory, episode 4-7 will see several characters making every effort to rescue the cowboy from bleeding out, turning to every corner possible as a means to have the right supplies to do so. In the past tense timeline, which has been played with all season long, Madison's fate will also be explored. The character has been entirely absent in the now scenarios, leading many fans to believe her death is the reason tensions are so high between Alicia's group and Mel's vultures. And then that's the end of that episode. I'm going to check the chat room again, and nobody is here yet. That's fine. Hopefully they will be soon. So let me go ahead and get the other synopsis article pulled up for you guys, and I'll share that with you next as well. So this one is from another site that we regularly cite, fansided.com. And this is by Brittany Frederick, who is also a regular writer concerning the show that we have relied on for material. And her title is the same as, you know, Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4, Episode 7, Synopsis, The Wrong Side of Where You Are Now. Not terribly off script, but that's fine. No real big deal. Okay, so she says, is Fear the Walking Dead killing off a main character in this week's episode? Here's the official synopsis, blah, blah, blah. This week's episode of Fear the Walking Dead could be the last for one of the show's main cast members, according to AMC's official description of what's coming up on Sunday. Sunday's installment is called The Wrong Side of Where You Are Now, which already doesn't sound good. The title implies that something bad is going to happen. This episode isn't called Everything is Going in the Right Direction, so after we caught our breaths last weekend because of the Memorial Day holiday, it sounds like things are going to take another nosedive in this next episode. But things look particularly bleak for John Dory. We know that Garrett Dillahunt just joined Fear this season and that we really just got to know John Dory a few episodes ago with the episode Laura. But AMC synopsis for Sunday's episode reveals that he'll be in a life-threatening situation. The gist of the whole franchise is that anybody can be killed off at any time. Hi, Nick and Travis. And that's in the article. That's not from me. So don't put it past this show to bump off one of its three new series regulars. I actually don't think that they will, but I think they're going to possibly have their endangerment lead to the loss of somebody else. Back to the article. Will it actually get that terrible? Will Madison Clark once again get raked over the coals for her decision-making, like we already saw happen to her 2 weeks ago in the episode before this? Certainly, if John Dory dies, everybody will be looking for someone to blame. And make sure you're tuned in, blah, 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 all this other stuff. Okay. that's fine and well. Check in the chat room. It is still quiet. Let me go back to my notes and see what else I have to share with you guys. So now we are at the writers and directors profile section. And we are back to not always having all of the data ready every week. I have had partial data the last couple of episodes. So I will try to indicate that as cleanly as I can so you know to whom I'm referring and what episode they belong. Okay, tonight's episode, I do not have writers' names yet. But the director is Sarah Boyd. Sarah is a longtime editor and long-ago actor who has segued into directing. She is known for her work with producer Carlton Cuse of Bates Motel, Colony, and Lost, as well as many films and TV shows edited for Ron Lurie, Straw Dogs, Commander-in-Chief, Nothing But the Truth. She attended Yale University and got her master's at USC School of Cinematic Arts. She began her career as a child actor with the lead role in the 1984 film Old Enough. Sarah has been an editor for many shows since the mid-90s, including Nash Bridges, Lost, Grey's Anatomy, Ugly Betty, Bates Motel, and Colony. She has directed episodes of Bates Motel and Colony. Tonight is her first work in the Walking Dead franchise in any capacity, and she is tonight's director. As far as last week's episode, we had incomplete data as well. We did have the director, Daisy von Schirler-Mayer, who we profiled last time. And we now have writer's credit. It was Richard, I don't know how to say his last name, Nang, N-A-I-N-G. Richard attended the Landon School in Bethesda, Maryland. That was a private school, so I assume high school. He later studied journalism and mass communication at NYU. He has been executive story editor for all of season 4 of Fear so far. Episode 6, last time 2 weeks ago, was his first full writer's credit. All right, check the chat room again. Still quiet. So let's go ahead and continue. Trivia about tonight's episode. As often happens, the trivia can be a week behind because of spoilers. Pardon me just a second. I have a cough. So sorry. So I don't really have much trivia for tonight's episode yet, other than it's the 43rd episode of the series overall. I do have trivia for the last episode, episode 6, called Just in Case. And here are some trivia notes on that. One of the drawings seen throughout the FEMA camp is signed with the name Clem, which is led to believe that Clem is the name of a resident from the camp. However, in Talking Dead, which we didn't see because they keep putting on Into the Badlands right afterwards, which I really hate. AMC, please stop doing that. Can we just have Talking Dead right after, like normal, and do that later? Thank you. Okay, so in Talking Dead, which I didn't see, it was confirmed Clem, short for Clementine, is the name of the daughter of a crew member who drew the pictures for the episode. We do not believe this is related to the Telltale Games video game character Clementine, but we don't have confirmation either way. Last time was the first appearance of character Edgar. It was the first and last appearance of Ellen, who is now zombified. The intro shows the sun having set behind the mountains with dark clouds having gathered to the right side of the screen, while the left side sky was still light. Althea's SWAT truck appeared driving towards the dark side. The flashback scenes take place the week after the scenes in Buried. The title refers to Naomi's friend Ellen's classes and the key, letters on the keychain and the box holding them, JIC, or just in case. It also refers to Madison's subsequent orders to Alicia, which are done also, quote, just in case. Naomi's daughter's name is revealed to be Rose. Naomi is revealed to be alive in the present timeline and a member of the Vultures. In Talking Dead, following the episode, Jenna Elfman is actually incorrectly referred to as by her alias Laura. I didn't see it, so I don't know the context of exactly what happened there. You double check. Chat room still quiet. Let's go ahead and continue. There is a goof error blooper from episode 6. When Madison is discussing the canned hams the group found with Naomi, She mentions the cans being split 48 ways. However, Charlie had already defected back to the Vultures by this point, returning the stadium to its original population of 47. However, it's possible that a new resident has joined the community off-screen. I actually personally don't know if this is a goof or error, because I don't remember where in the episodes, and this is where I wish like Joan was here already, or possibly Kelly, to help me figure this out. But the original population, I don't remember them naming it. So I don't know whether when Madison said 48 ways, if she was accounting for Charlie or if that was a boo-boo. You know, they're listing it as a boo-boo. I question that because I don't really remember this being verified. If at some point later on you guys do figure out where it's verified, let me know. Joan has just wandered in right after I had a trivia thing I was struggling with. And I'm going to welcome you. Thank you for coming, Joan. Okay, I appreciate you coming, and it's okay if you're late. You missed a few things I've announced, but you can listen to them later. So we're up to cast birthdays this week. It is 8:46, so we've got a little over 15 minutes until we go dark. So cast birthdays this week, and remember, we did have a gap in there because of not airing last weekend, but we did not have any birthdays in between the two dates. We didn't have a show on the 27th, but there wasn't anybody else that I hadn't already announced. So the first birthday is Sarah Wayne Callies, who played Lori Grimes, and her birthday is June 1st, and she is from LaGrange, Illinois, although she was mostly raised in Honolulu. Second birthday is Madison Janice Leisel, L-E-I-S-L-E. I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name, Madison. I don't mean to. And she played Jamie in the webisodes of The Walking Dead called Torn Apart. Her birthday is June 2nd, and she's American, but I don't have a city of birth. So happy birthday. Josh McDermott, who plays Eugene on Walking Dead Classic, is June 4th, and he is from Phoenix. And Robin Lord Taylor, who played Sam in seasons 4 and 5, the couple Sam and Anna at Terminus. His birthday is also June 4th. In fact, Robin and Josh actually share an exact birthday, June 4th, 1978, for both of them. Robin is from Shoeyville, Iowa. So let's give a round of applause for all of the birthdays, and thank you guys for your work on the show. And Joan actually had an opportunity to listen back real quick and indicates that she doesn't remember the original population of the stadium being verified either. So we'll kind of stand in that question until we can figure it out. Like I said, you know, Wikia is calling it a goof. I'm pushing back on that a little bit. We'll find out. Pardon me a moment for a coughing break. Real sorry about that. Okay, so don't forget to join us again next Sunday, June 10th at 8:30 for Fear Episode 8. This will be the mid-season finale, and then we will be on hiatus for the summer until late August, mid-August. And the name of the episode is No One's Gone. And so the remaining episode is only one, and the synopsis is Madison fights to preserve the life she worked so hard to build. Morgan tries to do the right thing. And also, just to let you guys know, mild shameless plug, which I do not benefit from. I will be going to Pittsburgh next weekend for the Living Dead weekend, and that is celebrating the 40th anniversary of Dawn of the Dead by George Romero, you know, one of the founding fathers of the genre, if not the founding father of the genre. And so I'm actually not entirely sure I'm going to be back on time. I'm going to try really hard, guys, because I'm going to be leaving the convention in Pittsburgh and try to get back to the D.C. area in time to be set up for y'all. But I will do my best to be on the air for this as soon as I can. So if I'm a little late, I apologize. Let's see. Okay, so also don't forget to keep watching our Facebook page for Fear Part 2 sometime in August and probably the Walking Dead Classic in October. I do not have exact dates for these. I think they typically wait until a couple of weeks before it's supposed to come back, before they'll actually release that. But I'll let you guys know when I find it. So it's 8:50, and our next section is featured music, which, since I found a website that tracks that, I like to share with you guys. It's also been really good for Fear, because The Walking Dead Classic does not do this as often as Fear does. So the last episode that we heard, which was 2 weeks ago, just in case, there are two songs that were featured in there. One was Coming Home by Lynyrd Skynyrd, which is an instrumental, and it was played while the vultures pack it up, and Melvin gives Madison some advice before leaving, and the group unloads the truck of goods. So that's the music playing in the background there. And then the second song is Die Valkyrie, Sorry If My German Sucks, Act 3, you know, Ride of the Valkyries by Wagner. And that is playing, the vultures are playing this music outside of the stadium as Madison and Victor are drinking together. So we also have discussion links, and we may have time to pull one of them up, so I might start. There's one that is pretty huge. I have posted it on the Facebook page. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see it yet, but this is this was a bit of a shock when I first saw it, but it is not considered a spoiler anymore because it was all over the freaking news. Andrew Lincoln is leaving Walking Dead Classic at some point during season 9. And I have an article about that that I want to read to you guys, even though we're doing Fear. This one is really enormous, and I wanted you guys to hear it because it's going to be pretty much common knowledge if it's not already. So this was written May 29th by Leslie Goldberg, and it's from HollywoodReporter.com. And she says, leading man Lincoln will appear in a handful of episodes of the upcoming 9th season of the AMC drama. The face of The Walking Dead is leaving the franchise. Star Andrew Lincoln, who has played beleaguered former sheriff Rick Grimes since the show's premiere, will exit the AMC zombie drama in its upcoming 9th season, sources confirmed to The Hollywood Reporter. Meanwhile, co-star Norman Reedus, who plays Daryl, is in the midst of negotiating a rich new deal that will pay him more than $20 million as he will become the new number one on the call sheet. It's actually been kind of interesting considering that Daryl was made up for the TV show. Sources say Lincoln will be phased out in season 9 in a fashion similar to co-star Laura Cohen, who will film only 6 episodes of the series. Cohen, who plays Maggie, opted to exit the highly rated AMC drama and booked the lead in AMC's Whiskey. don't know. Joan, are you able to hear me now? Let me know in the chat. Can you hear me? Tommy, can you hear me? And I don't. She said she was refreshing, so she's still in the chat room. I don't know if that happened. Still talking. Checking on the board. The board looks good. So hopefully you guys are hearing me, and I'm not just reading all this out into the ether. But we have 1 minute till we go live. And figure out what's going on. My TV has some kind of stupid screensaver on, and I do not know why they're doing this. Show me my television stuff. Mr. and Mrs. Smith is on right before the current episode of Fear, and I don't know why they're doing that. I really wish they would just do last week's Walking Dead so I could kind of watch and catch up. Okay, so Joan has gotten her sound back, so hopefully you guys did not have a giant pool of silence for the last few minutes. But anyway, it is 9 o'clock, and I'm just lingering. Oh, yes, Dietland. Okay, we are probably going to be going live. So I'm going to go ahead and go dark, and I'll see you guys at the first commercial break. Okay, guys, it's 9:08, and it's the first commercial break. Joan has put up a score already, and she's giving it 5.5. I'm going to sit and think about this one for a minute. I think I'm going to go 5.75, just because there was a lot to absorb. That was kind of a long first chunk. So I'm going to put that up. But at any rate, let me see. We don't really have a place to go back to as far as commentary. I had just fussed that Charlie showed up and said something to Luciana about, you know, I'm sorry. It's very interesting because her demeanor kind of suggests that there was a whole other dark thing about it. I think there was something very dark about her relationship with the guy in the El Camino and why she went back. Probably something very nasty and abusive. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll find out. Joan says the article that I was thinking of sharing doesn't sound familiar, so perhaps I meant to share it and hadn't gotten an opportunity, which is good because then I don't like to duplicate things, and I've caught myself doing that once in a while. So let's see. Oh, Joan says, hope they get around sooner rather than later to explain why Alicia and her crew became so evil. I don't know that they became evil, but they became a lot less trusting and a lot more mercenary, darker. It has to be more than just Nick's death and loss of the stadium. I absolutely agree. I think how they lost the stadium and some other things plus Nick's death, I think, are all adding to it. Well, Morgan Strange, to see him as a voice of reason. I don't know about that necessarily. I know sometimes he's been off the deep end. But anyway, we are back. So I'm going to hush and I'll see you all at break number two. Okay, guys, it is 9:19. We are just at break number two. And we're going to go ahead and get the scores up. And Joan is paying attention and got her score up. She's at 6-2-5, and I'm at 6-5. We kind of like this last little bit because we're making some progress on a lot of unknowns in the plot. And, of course, we're bringing up some new questions, but there are things that we know are coming. So one comment that Joan had made at the last break that I didn't get a chance to share with you guys is that she had said if they really do go to the stadium, though, maybe we'll get some answers. And, yes, she had heard music. I was playing music earlier. I seem to have lost my monitor on the board. So when we go to the next end of the commercial break, I may call back in and see if I can fix that. So anyway, Joan, since you indicated that the article I showed you didn't look familiar, I will go ahead and read this to you guys and hope that it is not a repeat. So Den of Geek spent some time on the set of Fear Season 4 to talk about the cast and the show and how it's evolved. It looks familiar to me, but it may just be because I had it prepped for what I thought would be last week and then didn't end up reading it. I don't know. But anyway, since it doesn't sound familiar, I'll share it. This is by John Saavedra, S-A-A-V-E-D-R-A, from Den of Geek, back from March 29th. And he says, there's never been a shakeup in the Walking Dead universe quite like the one you're about to witness on Fear the Walking Dead Season 4. The show, which is known to be quite a bit more nomadic than its older sibling, has moved from the U.S.-Mexico border to the Austin, Texas area. That's not all. Two new showrunners, Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg, both who worked on Once Upon a Time, have replaced Dave Erickson, who co-created the series with Walking Dead mastermind Robert Kirkman. There are also a few new characters joining Madison, Alicia, Nick, and Strand. And there's even a time jump that kicks off the season. Now, just to mention to you guys, since this is from March, some of what they say in the article is not going to be a surprise because we are already almost halfway through the season. But I wanted to share it with you anyway. But none of these game-changing details can top this one. Lenny James, who until now has been playing Morgan Jones on The Walking Dead, has joined the main cast in a once-unlikely crossover. The troubled pacifist Morgan journeys all the way from Virginia to Texas in the hopes of finding peace. Unfortunately, he quickly discovers in the Season 4 premiere, What's Your Story, that he can't avoid conflict forever. Well, I won't spoil exactly how Morgan crosses paths with the other characters or what exactly the fourth season is up to, there's plenty I can share from my recent set visit in late January. I had the chance to check out some filming as well as catch up with the show's stars and new additions. I also visited a brand new set inside of a baseball stadium that's unlike any settlement we've seen in this universe before. I even learned quite a bit about Fear the Walking Dead's two-hour premiere on April 15th, which kicks off a brand new season for the show. And I'm seeing a trailer for something, so we may be going back in a minute. I'm kind of stalling for a minute. It's for the hustle. I'm stalling. Superfly, pardon me. June 13th. And we are back. So I'll see you guys at break number 3.
Do you think Ennis is leading them all here?
No. He wouldn't do that. Are you sure, Charlie? Gotta be ready either way. In the meantime, what we can manage.
Madison, the tanks we met our new acquaintance at Naomi. We're not.
Now? No. No. Testing? No. Nope. Oh, crap. Can you hear me now? Because I pushed some more buttons, so I don't know which one made you be able to hear me. Let's see. How about now? Joan, can you hear me now? If you can hear me now, write down the number 1. Testing. Still testing. Still testing. Shoot. Okay, Joan, can you hear me at this point? Oh, okay. Do you still hear me? I apologize for this if you guys are hearing this because I have new headphones and I'm still learning how to use them. But I have lost my ability to hear the music on the board and I don't want to experiment with that on the air. So I'm not really sure what to do about that. I'm not going to finish reading the article right now, and that means I may have to repeat it potentially a third time. Okay, Joan is hearing me at this point, although I do not know why I'm not hearing the music. They have a trailer for Dietland, so we may be going back in a hot second anyway. This is a very bizarre show, but most of them on AMC have been lately, and I think we're going to be going back. Yes, we are. So I will hush, and I'll see you guys at break number 4. Okay, guys, it is 9:54. Jeff, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Casey. How are you?
That's fabulous. We have a caller, one of our longtime NDB Media friends, who gets a chance to come over here and slum with us over here on The Walking Dead. Very good to hear from you, Jeff. How's it going?
Well, you know, of course, you know, I moved from Boston to Arizona, so I'm living in the Old West, and so things have been really crazy for me, and I miss the fact that I haven't been on The Walking Dead episodes with you guys. For those of you who don't know, I was there in the beginning for the first half of the entire series, and I haven't been around because I just haven't been around, and I didn't want to miss the last couple of episodes of your show, and I haven't had access to AMC, so I've actually lost track of The Walking Dead, but are you doing Fear the Walking Dead tonight? Is that what you're doing?
We absolutely are, and in point of fact, this is the next to the last episode of, you know, the mid-season finale. Episode 8 will be next weekend, the 10th.
And what season are they in? Because I got caught up, and I just haven't caught the new episodes. So I was watching Fear of the Walking Dead, and I loved it. I loved it. And they had a boat. Remember how I kept saying, Jesus, they should get on a boat to Europe or something like that in The Walking Dead? You know?
Yes, that boat's gone. They're in season 4 now. And they actually I don't know if you had heard the impossible crossover that Kirkman swore forever and Scott Gimple swore forever. It was never going to fucking happen. They have a crossover character. Morgan Jones is now on the new show.
Yeah, the black guy with the staff. Yeah, I heard that was coming, but I didn't know it already happened. All right, so I'll just kind of like sit back while you talk about what you need to talk about, and yeah, I'm here for questions as well. So
fabulous. All right, I'll let you know when we go back to the live show. It's 9:55, so we won't have too much more of that, but we can linger for a few minutes after if you want to talk about the show or some things going on with that. Right now we're in a Netflix commercial, and
okay.
I'm kind of just biding time right now.
Is it just you and me in the green room here? Is it the screening room? Is it just you and me?
On the phones, yes. We do have a couple people in the chat room that are not on the phones. But, yeah, it's just you and I on the air.
Okay. Well, you know, and catch me up to date when you get a chance, because I'm very, very on top of Fear of the Walking Dead. I have free Hulu through Sprint, so I was able to catch up.
Oh, excellent.
Well,
okay, that helps a lot.
Except for the new episodes.
Yes. Okay, they're doing Dietland trailers, so I think we're going to be going back live in a hot second. I don't know who
I'll
this
be quiet.
Chick is time to. I'll let you know what we're doing. It's unapologetic with Aisha Taylor. Tyler, pardon me. Excuse me. Okay, we are back live, so I'm going to mute you, and
okay.
We're going to watch the show together.
All right.
Okay, hi guys. It is 10:02, and we are actually on here live, and Jeff Ferguson is still with us. We have our final scores coming up. Jeff has not been able to catch up with season 4, so I'm not going to pressure him for a score. I have a final score of 7, Jones at 7.5, and she has remarked, at least we got some answers, not all, but better than none. Jeff has not caught up to season 4 yet, but what you'll find when you do, Jeff, since most of our listeners are probably caught up, is that there's a lot of questions, and the answers to them are deliberately not answered very quickly. They become plot points in different episodes. And so we kind of keep jumping from the present, and the present day is implied to be equal to the Walking Dead classic because of Morgan's travel, because he went from Virginia to Austin, Texas. So you have to presume, since he's not driving, at least not most of the way, that there's at least a year or two in between because of his travels and, you know, unfriendly terrain and so on. So
yeah, I can add to that. Let me interject, because Morgan has been jumping around since the first season. So Morgan could be in Fear of the Walking Dead, back in the past and not in present day, which is what we're waiting for. I'm still a little skeptical, even though I haven't been watching. But like you know, from my time on Jeff Trek, I'm all about spoilers. I'm a real bastard about spoilers. So I just open up. What have you seen? What's happening? Because I'm caught up through three seasons of Fear the Walking Dead, and this is really, really making me, you know, crazy that I'm not seeing what's happening.
Whew. Morgan is kind of hard to make out. Are you there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, okay. If I was a hot chick, I could make out with him, but I'm not sure what you're talking about.
No, I was just checking because actually I have had some issues. I have a new pair of headphones, and they were misbehaving during the show. So we had a couple of spots where I might have had some dead air. So when it's really quiet, because they're noise canceling and they're very fancy, and that's lovely, but I had a brief panic that we had lost you for a moment, so I'm just verifying. But, you know, Morgan has always been kind of interesting, and I don't mean in a hot chick kind of a way. You know, he's had this mysterious past, but he started out fairly pedestrian. And it was kind of messing with some of us who might have known him from Jericho, because he played a guy who appeared very pedestrian, but was in this enclave in some manner of spy fashion that we never got to find out because the frickin' show was canceled. So I have to admit, I think most of us kind of mapped that onto him when he started The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I'd love it. He's always like, I love Jericho. I love it. He's like, okay, Jake. I mean, he kept saying that all the time. Okay, Jake. I love Jericho. That sucks. I got canceled. It sounds like it's very mysterious right now what his involvement is in. And I hope they don't disappoint us like they did with X-Files, where we never really got any answers. I hope we get some answers.
On Jericho or on Walking Dead?
Jericho's done. I'd love to see them come back. You know, they keep Magnum PI is going to be back on the air now. I posted that recently. I'm like, yeah. Now they got this new guy playing Magnum, and I hope that we see an appearance from the original Magnum playing some other character. And Jericho as well. I hope. Because they keep bringing shows back. That'd be great if they brought Jericho back. But, no, I'm specifically talking about The Walking Dead. When are they going to really tie it together with both shows? And, I really love the characters in The Fear of the Walking Dead. I really do. I can't wait to see what you've already seen. It sounds like you're like, oh, my God, what the hell is happening in every episode? That's not fair. That's just not fair. So what do you think? What do you think is going on? Why don't you tell me what you really think is going on? Don't mince words, Bones. Tell me what you really think. Star Trek 2.
What I really think is going on, I think it's very interesting because in the beginnings, when Fear came out, people were fussing because they were accustomed to the tone of Walking Dead Classic. And, of course, Fear starts weeks and weeks before Rick ever wakes up out of his coma. It's a prequel. And we had to have several arguments with people on social media to understand it isn't going to be The Walking Dead. We have The Walking Dead. We don't need two of them. It's a different story. And some fans didn't really parse that. But as time
went on. Let me interject really quick, and then I'll let you keep going.
Sure.
The thing that really excited me about Fear the Walking Dead is, yes, finally, we find out what happened in the very beginning of the infection. What happened? Okay, go ahead.
Interestingly, you know, what they did not do is actually ever tell us how it started still, which is one of my chief beefs with the show. I have been very salty that we have never yet been able to determine how it started. We determined things that went on in the beginning, like Rick woke up and it was already a thing. But when they started on the Fear, it's in the literal beginnings. Like, people are putting it on social media and everybody's like, oh, that's shooped. That's bullshit. You know, somebody just made that up.
Yeah.
And they're acting like we would be acting if we heard this for the first time. And that's kind of fun to play with for a while. And I enjoyed that aspect of it. But then
it has to be a biological attack. Or a biological experiment that went wrong that I think may have started inside a hospital. But that's my guess. There's some kind of biological attack, and you're right. Thank you for nailing that. And I'm so sorry I haven't been around, but I'm here now.
Yay! So one of the things that gets I agree there has to be some form of biological attack because that's typical of the genre. You know, the way that these work is very much close to the Romero mythos, close to the classics of the modern part of the genre. And so you have to assume it's something along that line. But one of the things that I was upset about is I had been hopeful that the Eugene storyline was going to lead to real stories, and that's why they went to Washington. And then they haven't done anything with that. It could be taking place anywhere. It stopped being useful to have it in D.C. I was hoping to have some kind of answers like the government knew, and then we didn't pursue all that. And so they haven't gone back to that. I don't know if they ever will. They're still up in the area, kind of, you know. I've been poking a little bit because I feel like the point of having it set in a specific city, and you say that, is because you're going to take advantage of the properties of that city. You know, the terrain, the behavior, the society, what's left of it, that sort of thing. If you're going to set it in Washington, D.C., you're going to have all these wonks who have been hiding out and probably have the answers, and they're not using it.
Right,
you have a question. Yes.
Your mind, yeah. You talk about cities and where it's located, and Fear the Walking Dead starts out in Los Angeles, which I drove all the way from Boston to Los Angeles while all this is happening, and then down to Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you think this infection started? Because it sounds like they're trying to tell people it started in Los Angeles, but people in Washington may have been the culprits. I don't know. We're Walking Dead. We thought it started. We don't know where it started, but it had to start close to what is it? Virginia? Where was Rick initially? What he was in a hospital in what state?
Atlanta.
Right. And they kept going back to Atlanta. So I always thought it was crap to keep it in Atlanta. They should have been traveling all over the world. We don't know what's happening on the other side of the world. This is only happening in the United States, which does make me think it.
Yeah, they've had opportunities to hear from other places in a limited extent, and they're hearing that it's just as bad everywhere. That was one thing they also explored in Fear, because Fear took place in a more urban area, and they had access to some of that, still communicating, you know, their equipment and getting hold of people who were still in touch with other people. I will tell you this. I don't know that it had an origin point. I kind of feel like the story is going to be something much akin to Romero's mythos, where it started everywhere. It was kind of, you know, biological and therefore
attack.
Well, not an attack, but like just a phenomenon of some sort. And that's why it's happening everywhere, because it's, you know, atmospheric, or it's so pandemic that if humans are in contact with other humans, it's being passed around somehow, or the atmosphere, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Another thing we haven't talked about all these years doing Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead is that I'm writing a story. I'm trying to write a story since 1988. But it has to do with alien interference. Maybe this may not be a human biological attack. Maybe we might be under the influence of an alien attack of some sort. Maybe wouldn't that be cool if aliens start showing up? Like, I don't know if alien zombies, but aliens that know how to create zombies out of a primitive race like human beings. I don't know. What do you think?
Maybe. Possibly. It's starting to remind me a tiny bit of a series that begins with a book called Dies the Fire. And it's sort of apocalyptic, but it's interesting. It's based on the premise that all technology stops working, including guns. I mean, weapons like arrows and stuff like that still work, but anything based on science kinds of technology, electricity, gunpowder, chemical reactions, they stop working. And so it tracks a society as they cope with that. And later down the line, they find out that there's some kind of alien interference that caused it.
If aliens knew that, and they're so much more advanced than us, they knew if they could shut down all our electricity, I mean, because when there's earthquakes, I mean, there are literally cities devastated with they have no electricity. We depend on people putting electricity back up. It's like how vulnerable is the human race? I mean, right now, it's very vulnerable, very vulnerable. So we might have to depend on the bow and arrow.
Have you ever had an opportunity to read The Stand by Stephen King, the actual book?
Oh, yeah. Well, I saw the TV series, and Rob Lowe was in that.
Yes, he was. Molly Ringwald, a couple other people I'm fond of.
Yeah.
But I bring it up because he addresses that in the book at very great length about all the things that people go through to try to hang on to the trappings of civilization and what it takes to keep that going. And that's one of the things I enjoy about this genre. It kind of gestures at that whole thing of people looking down on certain other people and like what they're good at until something like this happens, when the proverbial quintessential shit hits the fan. You all of a sudden are very nice to the people who know how to build stuff and fix the cars and cook the food and do the medicine. You know, we take people for granted and all this stuff, and then all of a sudden you need them and everybody's super, super nice. Because their lives
or super, super nowhere, or super, super nowhere in sight, and there is no help. I mean, if the proverbial shit hits the proverbial fan, we're all screwed. Well, a lot of us are, except for the experts. And, you know, I'm a survivor. I think I could do pretty well in an apocalypse situation. I don't want it, but I don't know. How do you think you would fare? I mean, some people are like, I would just die right immediately. I just need all my my conveniences, you know. How would you do?
Well, let me tell you this. You know, I followed you on social media for some time, and I know that you've been working on your health and your fitness, and I know that I'm not at the level that you are. So as far as the sorts of things like trying to, you know, outrun danger, the physical stuff, I'm going to have a lot of problems. I am mildly disabled. I can get around to a point, but that stuff would be my undoing pretty quickly. On the other hand, I know how to use quite a few weapons. I know how to cook. I know how to sew. I can chop wood, all kinds of stuff like that. I was a Girl Scout for many years, so I learned some of those weird things, like how to cook things on a tin can, all that weird shit they used to teach you.
Yeah.
So if somebody could just, you know, carry me on their back, I'm very useful.
Yeah, that's so funny. You're gonna be the person in the back of the truck as we're running away, you know, shooting at people, like dealing, hopefully not dealing with a zombie bite, you know. Most people have some kind of use. Well, I don't even want to say most people. I think most smart people have a use in society that would become a lot stronger. It's like when you lose your sight and your hearing gets enhanced. It's like once an apocalypse happens, your skill set, whatever low or high it may be, it gets enhanced because you know a certain thing. And that's just really exciting to just think about, you know, what you could do in an apocalypse situation. I just know I'd probably be saving your ass. I'd be saving
absolutely.
Your ass. That's for sure.
Yeah. Our friend Joan in the chat room is kind of on my side with this of, you know, I can shoot them, but I can't outrun them either.
Right, but you can cook. People need to eat. Warriors sometimes don't know how to cook. They don't know how to do shit except for fighting. And you need people to nourish people. You know, people need to be there for each other. It's like that human chain that can't be broken when you get a group of people together that knows how to save each other in different ways. You know, some people shoot guns. Some people cook. Some people sew up wounds. You know, some people have to do the dirty job at shooting someone right when they turn.
and I'll tell you this, you know, no, I've never had to actually do it. Thank goodness. But
thank goodness.
I kind of feel, you know, based on what I know of my own temperament and getting into confrontations with people over very serious things, I think that put into those situations and pushed, I think I would be comfortable being able to adapt to all that. There are some people who just can't. You remember how Travis used to be in Fear in the first season? He cannot even because it involves killing. And I'm like, are you kidding me? If they're coming after me, I pow, pow, pow. I'm good. I will shoot all the things. And you know, some people have said, well, you know, you're talking big because you've never had to do it. And I'm like, well, that's as maybe, but I have had to fight for my life. And I do know what that is. And so I know kind of what I'm made of when that gets pushed. So
ever since I've come west, I've had to fight for my life. So I hear what you're saying. I've actually literally recently had to fight for my life. I've had a whole invasion. I got my face beaten and my tires slashed twice within 2 weeks. So yeah, I'm living The Walking Dead right here, you know, in Arizona. But I'm not. I'm not scared though.
Please don't shoot anybody. We don't have any bail.
Right.
I'm sorry
in Arizona,
tires. But I thought it was just random pranksters. I didn't know there were. I didn't know it was being like that bad and multiple times.
Yeah. So then there is a detective that will be involved. I can't do anything because of the goddamn freaking holiday weekend last week and me not getting any sleep and another weekend happening. But I'm working it out. I am not going to be scared out of my home, and I am not going to be the kind of guy that just takes things sitting down. So I'm up all night. I'm working it out. I think the worst is over. I'm pretty sure the worst is over. It's just that you can't let your guard down, whether you're in an apocalypse or not. Ladies and gentlemen, that you're listening to this in the archives or you're listening to it live, never let your guard down. Always reach out for your dreams because, listen, Casey, it made me think twice about wanting to be in movies and TV, which is why I'm out here. But it's not about being famous for me. It's about practicing the craft and having fun doing it. And I don't know if a lot of people know this, but I'm going to be in a show called Alien Cross. It's going to be on Netflix.
I did not know
that. Oh, you didn't know that?
No, I did not. I'm looking for some applause for you. Good for you.
Well,
I did not know that, and please keep us posted so we can tell our listeners to come and check you out.
I will. And like I said, they're in pre-production right now. I think they've written about 7 episodes. We're going to do a Kickstarter and an Indiegogo campaign to raise money for the film because it is an independent film, but it's by a producer. I'm not gonna name drop right now because I'm not sure it's okay, but
let's wait so you know
it's cool. Yeah, I don't want, but it's the guy. Oh, I wish I could say some stuff. I can tell you privately. I think they're gonna start filming later this year, if not early next year, because they gotta write the episodes and they gotta raise money, and I'm part of that. Jeff Trek is part of that, and I would love for you to come on board, at least with one episode of Jeff Trek's. I mean, I know I've asked you in the past, but you would make an awesome co-host. And I think you really captured yourself because Mark Belise started the show. And hey, by the way, has he been there since? I know he just left and walked away from the show when you took over. But has he come to visit while you guys were doing the show? Has he come back?
No. No, and we haven't had a discussion about it, so I don't want to say too much because we haven't talked about it. After he stepped away, season 7, episode 1, he has not been back. He seems to be fine with me continuing on, and so I'm just going to keep doing that for a while until there's a reason not to.
Well, I'm so glad I could step back into my role as a co-host for your show, even though I'm a little bit behind. I'm still here.
Yay! I'm very happy to hear that. I do want to let you know we're going to cut off at 10:30. And so we have about 6 minutes roughly left to chit chat. So I didn't want you to be shocked if you got cut off all of a sudden.
I know how it goes.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think. I don't think I fully answered your question of what I think is going on with fear. And the part that I did not get to yet is that season two was kind of weak, but season three was a whole different animal. I'm going to be a little vulgar here, but I rated our show R as a podcast. So none of you little children should be listening to this stuff. Go to bed. Hang up. But anyway, season three was kind of like the show's nuts dropped big time. And you have seen season three where they had Kalataka Walker and all those guys. And the show got a lot beefier and more interesting, more cohesive. And a lot of shows go through that process. You know this, you've watched a lot of fledgling shows. And, you know, a lot of shows that we really love went through that in their first seasons where they hadn't really found their path. And season three was fairly strong. And I have to say, season eight of Walking Dead is starting to kind of smell like season seven, like season six. And I can kind of see why Andrew Lincoln is walking. And I know Lauren Cohan is walking for different reasons. She had contractual issues. But I can kind of see why maybe it's time to stop. Did you not know that?
Okay, stop right there. Stop right there. Wait, because we haven't talked about this. I heard about Rick's character is about to either get killed off or the actor himself is just walking away. And people are going to think that this is going to be the end, the jump in the shark, and it's going to be the end of the whole show. What's going on with him leaving the show like that?
They have not really said why exactly. It's not like they had a fight. It's more just like I think he wants to go out. Well, season eight wrapped up an era. And when they go to
is he
going to
die? I mean, he's going to become a zombie.
I don't know. I don't know any of that. None of that has been announced. Nothing of that. But what I will tell you that I do know for a fact that they have said in promo materials is not a spoiler. Season nine is going to be a time jump from eight, and it's not going to be about Sanctuary and Negan and all that stuff. There's going to be a jump between, you know, like, okay, that wrapped up, and now some things have happened, and we're going to check back in with them. And it's the perfect time to do that. Because you have to remember, for one thing, Andrew's British. He lives in London. Every time he comes and films this show, he has to schlep over to Atlanta.
Oh, I thought he was Australian. I thought he was from Australia. You're talking about Rick, the character Rick. I thought he, in real life, he's from Australia.
Actor. I don't know if he is, but he's living in London now.
Oh, he's from Australia. I know he is. Go ahead.
I question that because they've made several references that Andrew Lincoln is British, but I'm looking up right now while we are talking. But at any rate, currently he is living in England, in London, and so he has to leave his family for large chunks of the year, and he's been doing this for 8 years. And that's a pretty good run. And I think it's really just he kind of wants to do it while it's not sour, you know? And actually, according to the wiki, he was born in London, England on September 14th. So, sorry, no Australia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got to be bullshit. I don't know. I'm going to have to call bullshit on that.
IMDb says he's British.
Okay, well then he's British. It's because you know they gotta. But I had looked him up when we were doing our show, and they said he's from Australia. So I'm like, where the fuck is this guy from?
I have no idea where that bio came from. But back to the thing with fear. So you know, fear got to be meatier, and the Walking Dead classic, especially because it is deviating from the comics, and we don't talk about it a whole lot. Simply because of that, doesn't necessarily have a clear-cut path where it's going. And just because comics are still being generated doesn't mean that will be the script.
Right.
So
right.
I think there has finally become a cohesive freshness with fear that Walking Dead Classic is starting to lose. And I think
we need to talk off the air once we get cut off here. But you do have my phone number, right? And you don't have to say it on the air.
No. All right, everybody, 555 Hot Jeff. It's
Well, I'm going to talk to you right after this episode, and I just wanted to say before you cut off that I am so proud of you for taking over with this show. I could have done it. I just didn't have the time. And even Jeff Trek has suffered where I haven't been able to do enough episodes. But Jeff Trek is still very much alive, and so is your Walking Dead show. Your Walking Dead show is still alive, and I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I'm going to try and be here for the last episode that you have. Please contact me more than once, you know, even privately, just to remind me, because I have a lot of things distracting me, and I feel so bad that I haven't been here for Fear of the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead, and I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. All right, we're going to go ahead and wrap up because the British lady on the board is telling me it's time to go home.
Live long and prosper.
Yes, live long and perspire. Thank you. All right. So
live long and perspire.
Yeah. So it's almost 10:30. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, Jeff Ferguson, for stepping in and talking with us. And we'll see you guys next week for the mid-season finale. Go ahead and hang up. I'm going to go ahead and hang up here, and then I'll talk to you on the phone in a couple minutes.